Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me here today is Rick Whitted.
How are you doing, Dr. Correct? Tooley?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Good. Good to be here.
We're going to talk a little bit about something different here, and that is our jobs, or our wannabe jobs, or our hoped-for jobs, or the jobs we just left. It's all wrapped up in there, isn't it?
It is.
So let's start with the easiest part first.
Okay.
That's with the person who's got a job.
Yeah.
Now, the traditional school of thought in getting a job was you go out, you interview, you get the job. Yes, great, I got the job. I work hard, put in my hours, and I want to be promoted because being promoted is how I show my proficiency in what I've done. It also gives me more money, higher quality of life, more taxes. And I reach to get to the top of a pinnacle of my career. Then I get to retire, and I'm done. That's kind of the picture, right? The traditional picture.
That's the common traditional theme of what a promotion is. And what I found out in several years of research as I wrote this book is it's probably one of the biggest career mistakes we make to make that assumption.
So, career mistake. Let's unpack that a little bit.
So, my theory is the biggest career mistake I've ever made was making a decision based on something other than my core value, based on things like pay or position, and yet what really drives me is personally is relationship, mentorship, growth, development, but I never knew that, and the reason I didn't know that early on in my career is because the definition for what a promotion is, I was told, is a bigger job and a bigger paycheck. And if it's a really great job, both of those all at once. And yet, when you look at the reasons people quit their jobs, you discover that pay and position are not the primary drivers of people quitting. They are some of the drivers, but when you look at the overall population of people quitting, which, by the way, is 2.5 million people a month on average, and that stat hasn't changed for almost two decades.
That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people quitting. So, you know, as I started Right Now, Grow Your Space, the first question I asked was, what is going on and why is that happening? But it didn't take a long time to kind of think back to my own career and, you know, over the past decade and a half of managing other people's career, seeing the same, what you can only really characterize as an emotional response. And so what I found out is real simply is the number one most unasked career question is this: why do you want a promotion in the first place? And when I started asking that question as I began writing the book, you know, I got answers like, well, so that I can advance more. Then I go, okay, but why is that important? Well, you know, when I advance more, I'm able to make more money and, you know, to provide. I'm saying, oh, okay, but why is that important? You know, the responses I got, I mean, simply put, it was status or stuff, right? Why did I want a promotion? For status or for stuff? There's a bigger question that the book unpacks in that. You know, the answer to the question is that we're using work to measure something that work was never intended to measure, that God never meant for work to measure. And the question we're really trying to answer is real simple. Is my life moving forward?
Yeah.
It's why when you meet people for the first time, one of the first things they say, Richard, is, hey, great, so what do you do?
Yeah,
and because we're using work to measure, is my life moving forward? We don't want to do it. We don't mean to do it. We probably have never thought about it or at least admit it that we do it. But statistically, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, we spend roughly 55, almost 60% of our awake time at work or doing work-related activities. That's the average. It's way more than that. So what happens subconsciously is because we do so much of life on the stage of work, we end up, without thinking about it, using life or using work to answer life's greatest question. Is my career progressing? And that's why it's so emotional when we don't get what we thought we should have gotten at work. Or worse, when we don't get it when we thought we should have gotten it at work.
So let's back this thing up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I want to back up. I want some, give me a background story. What was your path that brought you to the point of writing this book?
Yeah. So I've been in the financial industry for going on 2.5 decades. And when I started in this industry, I came in under a what we used to call a college recruiting program back then. And that's when they last for a year, year and a half. Companies spend all kinds of money on you. And then as soon as the program was over, within 2 years, all those young folks quit and went to work for somebody else for more money. Well, I was one of the people that didn't quit, and I didn't go anywhere else. And I ended up doing very well early on in my career. Probably the first 3 to 5 years, I was doing very well with the company I was at. And because I had been doing well, and because I came in through the college recruiting program, they would enlist me to go do college recruiting for the firm. And it's something I did for free, something I didn't pay for. I was young. I could travel. It was fun. And I was a believer. I believed in the company. I was having success. And, you know, I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. I made the Kool-Aid. And I enjoyed making the Kool-Aid. And then the opportunity came. I got a call. Rick, you're doing great at work, and we'd love to bring you in and run our college recruiting program. So I was in my mid-20s, and I would have a report direct line to the head of HR and a dotted line connection to the CEO. And this was a Fortune 100 company at the time, mind you. So, I mean, from what I knew then, right, this was heaven. This was, oh, wow, this is great. And then here's what happened. I was supposed to fly out on a Friday. My wife and I, they were flying us out. I was going to be in meetings all day. Then they were going to allow my wife and I to look for homes. They were paying for everything. Thursday night, I hadn't gotten the call back yet. And then finally, my would-be manager called me. And he said, Rick, I just wanted to reach out to you. Sorry I didn't get a chance to call you earlier. And in that matter-of-fact kind of tone, he said, well, let me just kind of get right to it. And we've been in staff meetings all day, and we're announcing tomorrow morning you're going to hear that we're doing a hiring freeze, and the job we want to hire you for is impacted. So in that moment, I was driving, and I talk about this in the book, and I had to pull over. In that instant, I was a wreck. I mean, I said thank you. I was nice. I gave pleasantries. He hung up the phone, and I was just in a very emotional moment. And the first thought, the immediate thought that came to my mind was, I got to get out of here. My career just stopped. Now, I fast forward now, and that's not logical. It doesn't make sense. I was doing well. I was making great money. I had a great reputation in the company. I was up for a huge job opportunity at an early young age. And yet in that moment, I didn't get what I never asked for, by the way, but I didn't get what I thought I should have gotten, and I left the company. Within 3 months, I was gone. I started my own business. 3 months after starting that business, I got the call again. It was about 6 months. And that would-be manager was excited and said, we want to move forward, ready to bring you on. And I had to say, I'm sorry, I left the company. And his words haunt me to this day. He said, wow, that's too bad. And so I learned early on that our careers are very emotional. In fact, they're much more emotional than they are logical. We manage them much more emotionally than we do logically. And what does that do? Well, value-based approach is a long-term approach. Emotionally based is a short-term approach. And so I've met so many people, and I did the first part of my career managing our job to the next, our career to the next job or to the next paycheck. And we are always looking every 2 to 3 years, we're asking that same old question of, shouldn't I be doing more? Isn't there something else I should be doing? I mean, why am I doing this? That's usually a really good sign that you've been basing your career decisions on this notion of, well, a promotion is a bigger job or a bigger title. And the problem with that is that's not most people's core value. I mean, it is for a few people, and that works. But for the vast majority of the people, those are not the reasons they quit their job in the first place.
All right. So as we talked about this earlier, you'd experienced the roughness of thinking you had an opportunity to go somewhere, and that shut down. But that changed the trajectory of your career completely.
Sure did.
And you ended up going out and starting your own business. You started your business in the field that you were in, or did you?
Totally different field, within 2 years of that time, 9/11 all happened at once, and that was the toughest period of my entire life. I don't think I've ever lost as much money and as much sleep as I did during that stint. It taught me a lot. I wouldn't change what I went through, but as I step back and I look at what I'm doing today I am trying to help guide people along the right path for their career and connecting them to the right place and the right culture long term. Well, I was doing that at 23 and 25 for free. But I made an emotional decision, and here's the truth. That decision was commingled amongst three things: impatience, entitlement, and frustration. And those are some major career killers in our career.
Yeah, that entitlement issue is an interesting one, because you could also couch that one in expectation.
Absolutely. Well, the problem comes long before that moment or that notion. The real problem is, how do you define promotion? Most people don't know. They'll tell you a bigger job or a bigger paycheck. But that's not the majority of people's definition for promotion. And so I came up, and I talk about it in Outgrow Your Space at Work. There are four what I call definitions for promotion, the four P's of a promotion. And one is pay, for sure. One is position. There are two others. Those are external. There are two others that are internal. One of those is what I call personal security, this idea that what's most important to me is, am I valued? Am I considered a key player on the team? Is there relationship? Is there mentorship with within the company? Do I trust the people I work for? Do they trust me? Can they grow me and deepen me, my skills? The mantra for this person is, well, deeper skills deepens opportunity, and relationship is king. Then there's a fourth definition that I call personal satisfaction, which has a couple of meanings or definitions. One is there balance, work-life balance? Does the job I do either allow for balance to what's important to me outside of here, and or respect the balance that allows for me to do what I like to do outside of here? The other side of that is meaning. Is there meaning in the work I do? I'm pushing this button every day, but help me understand the why am I pushing that button, and what's the impact of that on what's important to me, whatever cause is important to me in life. So those are four core definitions: pay, position, personal security, and personal satisfaction. Nobody knows that. Nobody talks about that. And when you go to work, the only language they're using is corporate ladder language, which means, hey, work hard, do this, and you'll get the next bigger thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a reality for everyone, because even those, and I've been here where I was very successful, and I went to the next rung on the ladder, and I got the next thing, but I wasn't happy. I didn't like it. And I was asking that same question. Why am I pushing this button? And the answer is, I wasn't focused in by managing my career on my core value. That is a really hard thing to do, because we're using work not to talk. We're not really answering, is my career progression? That's what we're saying. what we're answering is my life moving forward? And that's a key, that's a core need in our life to know that we're growing. After all, I mean, if the baby's not growing, we got a problem, because growth is the best evidence of life, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. If we're not growing, we're stunted, we're dying, something's wrong. And in our careers, we're really not emotionally dealing with careers. We're dealing with, is my life growing?
We put this term, is my life growing? And it's interesting, because if I hear behind the scenes, we identify ourselves by our company.
Mm.
So then if we're not progressing in that company, it means that we're not progressing.
In life.
In life.
Right.
Which really doesn't work too well, because, for example, you take an individual who goes to work for a company, spends years with that company, and then the company says, you know, we just eliminated your division or your department, and you're gone. Now this person has an identity crisis.
Mm.
Can he find help here?
Yeah. Well, he can, or she can. But I'll tell you, it starts with knowing what you're doing. And this is probably the first out loud public conversation about what's going on here. We're really talking about the psychology of your choice. Why did you make that choice? Why did you make that career decision? And we have just accepted the popular notion that a promotion means a bigger job or a bigger paycheck. To be progressing in one's career means getting to the next thing. That is a powerful statement. And when you have your family going, well, hey, Richard, what are you doing now? Well, I'm doing this. You're still doing that? Right. It's powerful.
Yeah.
Not only do we measure ourselves by our lives by career progression, so do others around us. It's an unspoken code in culture, and we all know it. And so that's why it's not surprising when you see studies, say, for example, from the American Psychological Association, which looked at, they do a study every year, it's called Stress in America, and they look at what stresses adults the most. Number one is money. 64% of adults stressed by money. Significantly or strongly stressed in some way by money. Number two is work, 60%. And while that may not sound like a ringer, and even the study doesn't make that sound like it's big, here's what work and money beats out by far. Personal health, and family responsibility. You know, what's surprising is when you ask people why they work and why they do what they do and why promotions are important, they say, oh, because I got to take care of my family. And if that's the most important, and I agree, I think your priorities are straight if that's the most important thing. Yet, work produces far more emotional stress on us than even our families and health. Something's odd there. Something's off. Well, what I believe is off, and I talk about this in the book, is that the reason is because work is being used to answer that so important question, right? Is my life moving forward? And yes, God made us to press toward the mark, right? Of something higher, something bigger, something that means more to us. But subconsciously, because we spend so much time on the stage of life at work, we use work as the measuring rod to answer that question.
So now let's flip this.
Yeah.
You're the manager.
Mm.
What obligation do you have to your employees to help them understand these principles?
That's the next book.
Do you have any?
That's the next book for sure. I think that a part of it is managers have to understand this, that this is happening. One of the biggest issues in the workplace today from a business owner managerial side is employee engagement. Gallup tells us that less than three, and this is America and Canada, less than three out of every 10 workers in the workplace are not engaged. In other words, they're not emotionally or personally connected to the goals and the objectives of the organization. What does that mean? Here's your visual. For every 10 cars in the employee parking lot, 7 don't want to be there.
Yeah.
They don't want to be there.
It's true.
That's horrifying for a business owner or a manager or even a corporate executive to think about the cost of attrition and how disruptive that is to your clients, how disruptive it is to the culture. And for those that didn't quit, who have to now pick up all the, you know, the slack until the new person who won't learn that job really for 6 months. It's just disruptive overall. But the workers don't know what's really going on. They don't realize that what they're doing is using work to answer the question, is my life moving forward? And that's why it's so emotionally charged. And I have never had an exit interview with an employee or a coworker or someone who reached out to me for career advice who did not use very emotionally charged words. Here's what they sound like. Well, Rick, I applied for that job 3 times and I haven't gotten it. And, well, they don't value me. That's an emotional word. Here's a big one. They just didn't respect me.
Yeah.
Those are all emotional responses to work. And, you know, because they don't know what they're using work to answer, they think they're absolutely right. And when they leave, and 2.5 million of them on average do that a month, they find themselves in a new place, a new culture, with new excitement. And in the same 2 to 3 years, if they have not based their career decisions on their core value,
they're ready to move on.
They're doing it again.
So we're coming to an end here. So I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Succinctly, if you could tell men and women out there in the work field 3 things that will make a significant impact on the trajectory of their lives, not their careers, but their lives, what 3 things, and in order, would you tell them?
First, know that you are using work. The best of us use work to answer the most important life question, is my life moving forward? And it's the worst measure you could use. Secondly, that causes us to make career decisions based on things that are not core values to us. Know what your values are and resist the emotional urge you're going to naturally feel to go for the next bigger thing. If that bigger thing doesn't align to your core values, then I am telling you, stay away from it. The best you that you can be is when you feed your values. And everybody, everywhere in the world, every employer, every client, every business owner will pay top dollar for the best you that you could ever be. And feeding your values get you there. The last thing I would say is, if you're going, okay, that's great, but I'm not sure if I know what my core values are, go to CareerWhit, CareerWhit.com. And along with the book, I've designed a tool. It's a career assessment at careerwhit.com. And that will help you identify, well, which of these 4 P's is my core value? Beyond that, the second part of that assessment will tell you if, based on how you've answered, you have a tendency to make a career decision more emotionally than on that core value. It'll help you understand if you're aligned or misaligned in the way you think about your career around your values.
Thank you. Those are really good words of advice. All right, the book is Outgrow Your Space at Work, How to Thrive at Work and Build a Successful Career. And it's by Rick Whitted. And the website, again?
They can go to rickwhitted.com, it'll take them to everything around the book. Or they can go directly to careerwhit.com.
Okay. And the book is available
everywhere books are sold. Amazon, Walmart, Target, Barnes & Nobles, they're everywhere books are sold.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure, Doctor.
Being with us here on this show.
Thanks. God bless.
You have been listening to Education Current, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. mrgmediaministries.com.